Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, sitting in for my pastor, the Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, and we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in, and this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., I will come this evening with a word from the Lord. Amen. And I want to apologize for not being on yesterday, but we were in Brooklyn supporting our pastor. Amen. Praise God. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here in this sanctuary by Francesca. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God.
come here. Praise be to God. Right now, I'm just going to read a little walking in grace to draw you closer to God. And the scripture is 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, and the New King James Version says, sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Praise God. Grandma, please tickle my back, my grandson Logan begged. When Logan had come to live with us, he was only 3 years old. Chuck and I had begun a bedtime ritual with him of getting on our knees and saying our prayers. Afterwards, we would kiss him goodnight, but sometimes I stray and gently ran my fingers over his back as he went to sleep. The back tickling routine became a bonding tradition for us. While I tickled, I sang songs that I have sung to him while taking him on walks in the stroller when he had been a toddler. These songs were old childhood tunes from church like Jesus Loves Me, Jesus Loved the Little Children, Every Day with Jesus, and so on. Then I ended with the fun song, Itsy Bit Spider. Tickling him with the spider as my fingers ran all over his back. Even though Logan is 10 years old now, he still loves to have his back tickled when he goes to bed. I sometimes wondered if those Jesus songs, as he used to call them, meant anything to him or if he was too old for such songs. Then recently, I heard the old hymn, How Great Thou Art. That evening, when I tickled Logan's back, the hymn was fresh on my mind. So I sang it. Surprisingly, he really liked the song and asked me to sing it again. The next night, when I went through my back tickling repertoire, I wrapped it up with our traditional spider song. Then Logan asked me to sing the new song. What new song? I asked. Then he realized it was How Great Thou Art, I said. But I already sang the last song. No, from now on, I want that new song to be the last song, he said. Amen. And that's from Marilyn Turk. Lord, thank you for the blessings of sharing your truth in song. And if you want to go deeper into it, you can read Proverbs 22 and 6 and James 5 and 13 along with 1 Chronicles 16 and 9 from the New King James Version. Amen. Praise God. And that is our walking in grace with God. At this time, I'm going to play another selection, What would Jesus do? WWJD. Amen.
looks like you. So what will Jesus do?
Amen. What will Jesus do? Let us pray. The Lord, Lord of all the earth, Lord, I ask you for special grace that I might keep my eyes on Jesus Christ, not on the waves surrounding me and not on the water you have calling me to walk out onto. Even if the waters were peaceful, my mind would still doubt that I could walk on them. As Peter sank when he looked down, I ask that I will not sink. May my eyes always be on you, and as the Israelites witness you stopping the running water, I pray that you will help me to do whatever you ask me to do so that I can witness your miraculous interventions in my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And now, right now, I want to share this little message with you called, which is entitled, Do You Believe in Miracles? In Psalms 77 and 14 in the CSB Bible says, You are the God who works wonders. You reveal your strength among the people. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. If you haven't seen any of God's miracles lately, you haven't been looking. Throughout history, the Creator has intervened in the course of human events in ways that cannot be explained by science or human rational, and he's still doing so today. God's miracles are not limited to special occasions, nor are they witnessed by a select few. God is crafting his wonders all around us. The miracles of the birth of a new baby, the miracle of a world renewing itself with every sunrise. The miracle of lives transformed by God's love and grace. Each day, God's handiwork is evident for all to see and experience. Today, seize the opportunity to inspect God's hand at work. His miracles come in varieties of shapes and size. So keep your eyes and your heart open. Be watchful, and you'll soon be amazed. When we face an impossible situation, all self-reliance and self-confidence must melt away. We must be totally dependent on him for the resources. I could go through this day, obviously, to the miraculous all around me, or I could tune in and enjoy. Faith means believing in realities that go beyond sense and sight. It is the awareness of unseen divine realities all around you. here lies the tremendous mystery that God should be all powerful, yet refuse to Corinth. He summons us to cooperation. We are honored in being given the opportunity to participate in his good deeds. Remember how he asks for help in performing his miracles? Fill the water pots. Stretch out your hand. Distribute the loaves. Think about this. God is in the business of doing miraculous things. You should never be afraid to ask him for a miracle. Mark 10 and 27 in the CSB says, looking at them, Jesus said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. Because all things are possible with God. In 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, in the New King James Version says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Amen. And John 14 and 12 in the CSB says, I assure you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. And he will do even greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. Luke 1 and 37 in the CSB says, for nothing will be impossible with God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, nothing is impossible for you. Your infinite power is beyond human understanding. Keep us always mindful of your strength. When we lose hope, give us faith. When others lose hope, let us tell them of your glory and your works. Today, Lord, let us expect the miraculous and let us trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And again, at this time, I will play another selection. All belongs to you. Praise God.
Belongs to you.
to God. Jehovah Cherub, meaning the Lord, the sword. We give you our all because in you we find our all. You are our shield. You are our helper. You are our glorious sword. Those who rise up against us cannot stand in your presence. Simply trusting in you brings about the deliverance we seek. Aligning our life under your commands gives us your covenantal covering. You tread on the heights of all. Nothing is too large for you to overcome. Our trials and our troubles are as nothing in your hand. You easily remove them. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to read, You Got This. It's a devotional to equipping plus powering hard-working women. This is for all the hard-working women. And the title is Fighting Your Battles. The scripture reading is coming from Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 in the ESV Bible. And it says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Life is busy. And when we're running from one place to another, it's really easy to forget why we're doing what we're doing. We can chase success, recognition, status, which can all lead to stress. What we need is a daily check-in with our hearts. What do you love about what you do each day? It's when we lose ourselves in work and forget the why that our jobs and lives become stressful. Sometimes we need this reality check to keep moving forward. If a job is no longer serving you, take a look to examine where your heart is and pray. If we all do what we enjoy and are best at, the world will be a better place. We spend a lot of our lives working, so shouldn't we enjoy it? Do you feel as if you're in the wrong position in life? As if you are not out of place? Think about it and take money out of the equation. What would you enjoy doing each day? Now, what's stopping you from doing that? If God has given you the gifts and is moving your heart in that direction, he will provide. Maybe there's something out there that you will love and have not even explored yet. Or maybe you're satisfied with where you are and excited for the growth opportunities to come. We can work as hard as we're able, but we have to make sure we're doing it for the glory of God. Using the talents and gifts he's given and in the position he desires us to be in. You got this. As you think about your career or your daily work, give thanks to the Lord for what he's given you, good and bad. They have all brought you where you are today and will pave the way for your future. Check in with your heart on your level of happiness. What gifts do you possess? What do you do best at? People change jobs all the time, but it's when we get in the position where we feel comfortable and needed that the desires of our hearts and souls are met and we can finally feel at peace. I hope this was a good devotional message and that you enjoyed it. And this was for hard-working women. Amen? So at this time, I will play another selection, and I will come right back with our devotional message for this evening. And at 7 p.m., I will come with a word from the Lord. Praise be to God. Right now, we're going to give all the glory to God.
All to the glory of God. All to the glory of God. In all that we do, no matter where we are. Belongs to him in the fullness of his blessing. Nothing is possible without God. We come to know his mercy. Far as the eye can see, he owns the cattle on the 1,000 hills. His love knows no bounds. His goodness always true, and he's coming in the clouds.
praise be to God. Jehovah Elohim, in the account of heaven and the earth when they were created, you are featured prominently as the creator. From your creative mind came the concept. From your loving heart came the reality. From your mouth came the words that spoke the earth and the universe into existence. We stand on ground that you have spoken into being. We breathe air that you determined would enter our lungs and give us life to the cells in our bodies. We honor you and adore you for your creative power and genius. Lord, you are worthy of all our praise. Amen, amen, and amen. And now at this time, I will come with our devotional message, which is entitled Close Union. And the scripture reading for this is coming from John chapter 14, verse 16, and it says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Praise be to God for the reading of his word. We may sometimes think of today's verse in terms of salvation, but it is true of the Christian life as well. Jesus wants to be your way, your truth, and your life. In him and through him are the Father's will for you. So we should never mistakenly think God's not really interested in teaching us, leading us, and revealing his will. Yes, he certainly is. More than you can ever possibly imagine in Romans 8:32. Not only is the Lord attentive to the great and impactful circumstances of your life, but he is also observant of details so small they can escape your notice. He cares about the burdens, the challenges, and the conflicts that concerns you. What God wants most from you is a personal relationship where you walk with him in such close union that you are consistently aware of his presence. Yes, he wants that. In fact, that's why he has given his own spirit to live within you and direct you. Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you for being our way, our truth, and our life. Help us fix our eyes on you and trust you in every circumstance, so that we can be a reflection of your love and grace to others. In your name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening. And it was written by our late Charles F. Stanley. Praise be to God. Beautiful message. Union. Again, at this time, I will play another selection. And our last little short message for this evening, we're going to spend a little time with Jesus. Amen.
Everybody lift your hands as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. The worship song that says this, our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Give strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say my God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say, come on, if you know he's awesome, say it. Lift your voice. Forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Come on and lift your voice and say it.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Amen. Praise God. Okay, here we go. Let us pray. Jehovah Elohim, we confess we don't fully understand or grasp the true magnitude of all you have made. Everything is perfectly created so that we all live in a natural circle that sustains itself and produces life. But you are also intimately involved in your creation. You are not only Elohim, but also Jehovah. Forgive us for failing to honor you at the highest level due you. Forgive us for neglecting to show you the respect you deserve. Pardon our hearts when selfishly seeks to take credit for something you have created and planted in our own life, such as our skills, gifts, and talents. Jehovah Elohim. Amen, amen, and amen. And right now, I'm going to, like I say, a little daily encouragement for your soul. Praise be to God. The scripture reading is coming from Psalms chapter 98, verses 4 through 6 in the NIV. And it says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant songs with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp, and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Amen. I love listening to music and singing along. Loudly this morning, after dropping off my 15-year-old son, Anderson, at school, I cranked up, God will work it out. In the car, I launched into a full voice, vehemently, praise and worship sessions on my way to get coffee. I wait to sing until after drop-off. Otherwise, Anderson gives me his "you need to calm down" look. Anything that draws attention is off limits as far as he is concerned. I turn down the volume in the Starbucks drive-thru, but I turn it back up as I move forward in line to pick up my coffee because it was the good part of the song. I thumped my hand on the steering wheel and sang along until I realized that the barista, meaning the person, was holding my cup of coffee out the pickup window and staring at me. Addie would have died. I smiled, paid, grabbed my coffee, and drove away. Jesus deserves all the loud singing I can give him. He works on my behalf every day with his grace, his love, and his forgiveness. Hebrews 7:25. Singing about him and his goodness is one way I can honor him. I'm thinking of keeping a tambourine in my glove box. But don't tell Anderson. Susanna Forth Ogerton. Faith Step. Crank up your favorite worship song and spend time praising Jesus. Praise him for working things out on your behalf every day of your life. Amen, amen, and amen. And that's what we should do. The first thing when we wake up in the morning is to give God praise. Give him the glory, the honor that he deserves. Not we deserve, but that he deserves. Praise be to God. And that, okay, was our first hour of Pray One for Another. And at this time, I'm going to play a selection. And after the selection, then I will come back with a word from the Lord. Amen. So let us give every praise to God.
Let me hear the worshiper. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Yeah.
worthy of the praise. I don't care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
God. And now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Luke. And we're going to go to chapter 23. And then we're going to go down to verses 39 through 43. Amen. That's Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, but you could read from any Bible that you will feel comfortable of reading from. Amen? Let us read. One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed. So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too. While you're at it, but the other criminal protested. Don't you fear God, even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. So as this man was about to die, he turned to Christ for forgiveness, and Christ accepted him. This shows that our deeds don't save us. Okay? Your deeds, no matter how many deeds you do, it will not save you. It's our faith in Christ that saves us. It is never too late to turn to God. Even in his misery, Jesus had mercy on this criminal who decided to believe in him. Our lives will be much more useful and fulfilling if we turn to God early. Okay, don't wait till you're on your deathbed to turn to God. Start now, my brothers and sisters, please. But even those who repent at the very last moment will be with God in paradise. Praise be to God. We'll be with him in paradise. Since Jesus came into the world to identify himself with sinners. It was quite appropriate that he should die between two of the worst. No doubt. Those who placed him there did so with malice, intending to add insult to the injurious death they had imposed upon him. Again, however, as on other occasions, God used the wrath of humans to glorify himself. Jesus had the opportunity to demonstrate to the world his great grace and mercy even in the last hour of his life upon earth. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the beauty of this world. We are grateful for the light of the sun, the wind on our faces, the color of the flowers, and for all the lovely things that enrich our lives. We thank you for all the world that you have made. Sin has entered it, and because of that, we need a Savior. You have provided that Savior in Jesus Christ. We bring our gifts that the message of Christ may be proclaimed to those who do not know him. And may some of our money will be used here at this church. Some will be used at other places, even at the uttermost parts of the world. May we, your people, and the sheep of your pasture, not only enter into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise, but also having thankful hearts, Lord, and give cheerfully of our means, that those without a Savior may hear the gospel and find eternal life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. My text for this message is coming from Luke 23:43. And it says, "And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And my title for this message this evening is, God can save anyone, anywhere, anytime. Keep that in mind, my brothers and sisters. God can save anyone, anywhere, anytime, because he is the Creator. And tonight, my message is divided into three paragraphs. Number one, we're going to talk about the last words are significant. Some of the most fascinating quotations in anthologies are those of the final words people spoke while on earth. A famous atheist is reported to have said on his deathbed, about to take a fearful leap into the dark. On the other hand, the final testimony of one of America's greatest evangelists was earth is receding. Heaven is opening. God is calling. The two thieves, with their last words, revealed a great contrast between two types of people. One continued to reject Jesus until the very last, mocking him by demanding with a sneer that he prove his power with a miraculous act. But the other man, however, must have understood the spiritual nature of Jesus' message and ministry, for he requested a part in Christ's kingdom. Surely this thief was not referring to any political organization that he thought Christ would establish by overthrowing the Roman government. His request in verse 42 said, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom," spoke of a life beyond. This person wanted to make sure that when he repented and asked Christ to remember him when he come into his kingdom, that there was a life beyond. Number two, deathbed salvation is possible. Can one be saved after years of sinning? Of course, for this is what God's grace is. Such a transaction should be analyzed discreetly. A wise pastor said to a young ministerial student, "I believe in deathbed confessions. I believe one can be saved in his last moment. I have seen several, and I must admit that I'm always a bit nervous about them, wondering if the confession was absolutely genuine. But I know that deathbed confessions are valid and accepted by God." No doubt about this one. Jesus verified the sincerity of the thief's confession. The request was more than the asking of a favor. This man was saying, in essence, "I'm sorry for my sins. I accept you for who you say you are." In this last brief period of my life, I want to go on record that I identified with you and all that you stand for. This is what the thief was saying to Jesus when he confessed and said that, "Remember me when you go into your kingdom." So where I have erred, please forgive me. In other words, while he was out in the world sinning, he's now confessing everything to Jesus on the cross. "I threw myself entirely upon your mercy." So now he's so remorse for all the sins that he has committed. So now he's throwing himself upon God's mercy to forgive him. So let me be a part of you during these remaining moments on earth, and let me share with you where you go. This is all any of us can do, regardless of how young or how old we may be. No one is saved by piling up good works in order to obligate God to declare him or her righteous. Even the best person on earth are sinners, and their righteousness is like filthy rags in God's sight. Thank God for Jesus. We can know that we are saved. Have you ever heard someone say, "I hope I'm a Christian," or "I'm trying to be a Christian"? Such statements sound very humble, but they are completely unscriptural. The Bible makes it clear how one is saved, and that is in Romans 10:9, and the RSV Bible says, "Confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead." When you have done this, you are saved. You may or may not feel a sudden surge of emotions. The feeling is not the fact, nor even the proof. The authority for our salvation rests upon what God's words say to us. A feeling may come immediately or gradually, but the fact of the new life occurs instantaneously. Beyond the shadow of a doubt, we can know that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. To say that you are certain of your salvation is not boasting, but is rather accepting that God does what he says he will do. Praise be to God. God puts our sins on Jesus. Back when Jesus died on the cross, when he died on the cross, he took every sin that we committed on his back. God is so completely satisfied with the substitutionary death of his son for our sins that he will eternally remain so, and will never again take up judgment against us. In the resurrection of Christ, God vindicated everything that Jesus did and gave all authority to him. When we receive the Savior in simple faith, it's simple faith, believe and have faith that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, we can say with assurance, "I'm saved and I know it." How marvelous is this assurance? And before I come to my conclusion, I just want to say a few more things. As soon as Christ was fastened to the cross, he prayed for those who crucified him. What a wonderful God we have. That he, while he was on the cross being crucified, he had time to pray for us. The great thing he died to purchase, and produce for us is the forgiveness of our sins. This he prays for. Jesus was crucified between two thieves. In them were shown the different effects the cross of Christ would have upon the children of men in the preaching of the gospel. One male factor was hardened to the last. No troubles of themselves will change a wicked heart. That other thief's heart was so wicked that he could not change even while he was on the cross dying. The other was softened at the last. He was snatched as a brand out of the burning and made a monument of divine mercy. This gives no encouragement to any to put off repentance to their deathbeds or to hope that they shall then find mercy. It is certain that true repentance is never too late, but it is as certain that late repentance is seldom true. None can be sure they shall have time to repent at death, because sometimes death can come so fast that you don't have time to repent. But every man may be sure he cannot have the advantages this penitent thief had. Praise God. We shall see the case to be singular if we observe the uncommon effects of God's grace upon this man. He reproved the other thief for railing on Christ. He admitted that he deserved what was done to him. He believed Jesus too have suffered wrongly. Observed his faith in his prayer. Christ was in the depth of disgrace, suffering as a deceiver and not delivered by his Father. He made this profession before the wonders were displayed, which put honor on Christ's suffering and startled the centurion, meaning the centurion was one of the gods. Or the soldiers. He believed in a life to come and desired to be happy in that life, not like the other thief, to be only saved from the cross. Observe his humility in this prayer. All his request is, Lord, remember me, leaving it to Jesus to decide in what way to remember him. Thus, he was humbled in true repentance. And he brought forth all the fruits for repentance, his circumstances. What would admit Christ upon the cross is gracious like Christ upon the throne. Though he was in the greatest struggle and agony, yet he had pity on a poor penitent. By this act of grace, we are to understand that Jesus Christ died to open the kingdom of heaven to all penitent, obedient believers. It is a single instance in Scripture. It should teach us to despair of none, and that none should despair of themselves, but lest it should be abused, it is contrast with the awful state of the other thief who died hardened in unbelief. Though a crucified Savior was so near him, be sure that in general, men die as they live. And as I bring this message to a close, I just want to say, praise be to God. Although the thief was saved at the 12th hour, he was saved. Someone spoke of it as literally blurring into paradise. This is not, however, a fair description. We all blunder into heaven because we must come simply as sinners, throwing ourselves upon the grace of God. True, this man was one who had wasted his life, but in a sense, we all do the same thing until we come to the Savior. Many years ago, Ambrose, one of the early Christian preachers, said, "How much richer was Christ's grace than the malefactor's prayer?" A modern writer expressed it, "Christ swept the man into the full embrace of God's love." Hallelujah. One fact worth nothing is that it was not the word of Jesus that led the man to repentance and faith. Jesus did not address the thief at all until the thief spoke to him. The convicting work of the Holy Spirit had already been done before the man uttered a word. The sinlessness of Jesus, his refusal to utter a word of harshness, his magnanimity in the face of cruel treatment. These were the things the Holy Spirit used to bring the thief to his prayer for forgiveness. And yet, when Jesus did speak, he added greatly to the impression he had already made on the man. He spoke of the unseen world as a place with which he was already familiar. Jesus assured the thief that he was an influential in that world, as the thief considered him to be. When this sinner laid on Jesus the guilt of his sin, the weight of his soul, and his concern for eternity, Jesus accepted the burden and brought assurance to him. He can do the same for anyone, anywhere, anytime. He can do it for you. Praise to God. I hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you, as it is always to me. Jesus can save anyone, anywhere, anytime. Won't you accept him today? And if you believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, All you have to do is repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Father God, I am a sinner. I pray you forgive me for my sins. I thank you for sending your only begotten Son to die on the cross for my sins. Jesus, be my Lord, Savior, and friend. I want to follow you all the days of my life. I pray that your Holy Spirit takes residence in me. All these blessings I ask in Jesus' name. I pray and believe that it is already done. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And the next thing you have to do is to find a good Bible-based church to further your walk, with your Christian walk. Amen? And I want to leave you with these words from Jude 24 and 25. Where it says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. And let us all say amen, amen, and amen. And I want to thank each and every one for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you till we meet again next week, Tuesday at 6 p.m. when I will come with our at 6 p.m. when I will come with our sweet hour of prayer, and at 7 p.m. our very own Barbara A. Amore will come with our lesson in basic theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us in our lesson, please dial in 319-527-6222. We are here every day from Tuesdays to Fridays. Praise God. So I want to play this selection by Fill Me Up, and I pray and hope that you was filled with the Word of God this evening by Tasha Cobbs. Praise God. Good night, everybody. God bless you. Shalom. Have a wonderful weekend to each and every one. And if you have to go out, please be careful. Stay safe. Wear your mask. COVID is not over. It's still out there. We love you and have a good evening.
Should be released from your lips tonight. Come on, raise it now. Oh, that's good. Y'all raise it with it. In a motion.
his glorious life of redemption. Let us pray. Repeat after me. Lord, I am sorry for my sins. I repent for my sins, and I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die for my sins. Jesus, I ask you to come into my life right now. Be my Lord, Savior, and friend. Let your Holy Spirit abide in me. Help me to follow you all the days of my life as your disciple. I thank you for forgiving me and receiving me right now. Any prodigal sons and daughters out there that would like to be rededicated, let us pray. God, I am sorry for my sins. I am sorry that I have strayed from you. I ask you for your forgiveness. I repent for my sins. I don't want to live like a prodigal son any longer, or a prodigal daughter. Renew, revive me as I once again follow you. I thank you, Lord.
Be to God. Here's my song. There we go.
Bread of life sent down from glory. Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter. But you are the living word, babe. Come on.
Man. Thank you for tuning in, and if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.